15. We'll start there today. Again, good morning. It's good to see you. And very thankful that God has given us the union again of gathering. There are several things. Again, we're continuing to march along this foundation path and recognizing that until the building is finished, you keep building. Just a few weeks ago, they placed atop what is now the new One World Trade Center, the final spear, which was to the glory of this community, done at Banker Steel. They just so happy about that. Yeah, they put the last little pieces. They have several pieces, really, they put in the building, but that was the last piece to their glory. But they placed that atop, but there's still work to be done. And as much as those who are looking at it from the outside may suggest that it's very close to being done, there are a lot of internal things that have to be done. And that's where we are in this growth season. We've got to recognize that no matter what we look like on the outside, that there are still a lot of internal things that we've got to get done. And to our glory, I guess we can get some glory out of it. When people speak well of us from what they see on the outside, that's fine. But we know the truth. You can build a great shell of a person, but if the internal things are not done well to the glory of God, we're not going to be much in the fight. I use often the illustration of the little Easter bunnies they sell during the holidays. You know, on the outside, they look like solid chocolate till you put pressure on them. When you put pressure on it, it just cracks and there's nothing in there. Now, there are some they make solid, and that's a whole different eat right there. So we want to look at, again, how while we're working, and I've had some people rumble about it. You know, how long are we going to do? We're going to do it till we get finished. You know, and I'm not in a hurry. I pray you're not, because it's so important for us to build a sound you to the glory of God. And that this is what Jesus illustrates for us over and over again. He's patient with the disciples in his teaching. He is very purposeful in his teaching. He doesn't want them to skip the question because they're afraid of the answer. And he doesn't rush because he knows he's got enough time. So we want to continue to look at that. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to start there. But here's the setup that we're going to pick up on today. One of the things that we have to always keep into mind is that the things of God will always work. Always. You are not the one person that's going to come along and figure out that this don't work. I've heard people say to me in my pastoral remarks, well, that just didn't work for me. What do you mean it didn't work for you? It works for everybody. God is no respecter of person. God doesn't have a different program for different people. This works for everybody. The only reason that the system of God will not work for an individual is that that individual will not surrender to the system. If you do a transplant, and I pray you don't have to, but if you are a part of a transplant, the body will reject that which is not its own. So when we try to do matches, you know, they try to come as close as they can, and hopefully the body will accept whatever thing we add to it. And, you know, if that has to happen, that has to happen. But they also start to give you a drug in preparation that will kind of get your body ready to accept this new piece or new thing that's coming in. And I don't know what drug we need in the church. I'm trying to think of what we might need to get the people of God to accept this teaching, to accept what God is saying to the church. And over again, as Paul told Timothy, he said, there's going to come that day when people are going to run after whatever sounds good, whatever's comfortable, whatever gives them this warm and fuzzy feeling. But the reality of what Paul is saying is they're looking for the easiest way they can. And how many of you know that the easiest thing ain't always the best thing? Amen. Now, the reality is, it's not the easiest walk of life when you walk with Christ. Here's what the Lord says about walking with him. He said, listen, be very mindful that a lot of what happens to you is going to happen to you because of me. And he wasn't talking about ruffles and flourishes. He wasn't talking about having a parade. He said, they're going to persecute you. And he said, listen, please understand that if you see these things happening in a green season, when things are going good, what do you think is going to happen when it gets dry? We have to face that reality. So the other part of the setup is, if you look at, as we're looking at our foundation and understanding the spiritual principles, is that things that are consistent are because they're true. Pay attention. Things that are consistent are because they're true. The sky is still blue because it's true. It's blue. I mean, it ain't gonna, you know, nothing gonna change. I mean, it has different hues at times. Grass will always be green. Water will always be wet. The sun will always, I mean, it's consistent because it's true. I'm concerned that in the Christian church, we're trying to make the word of God inconsistent because we don't believe it's true. We're trying to make that which is absolute more of a mystery than it is. We're trying to ask questions of scriptures that don't require a question. It simply requires an amen. Okay? Now, notice what he says to the church. He says, now, let me tell you, verse 1. Now, let me remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then and still do now. For here it is. Your faith is built on this word. Without this word, there is no faith. And if we're not very careful, if we're not very committed and very concerned, this will wash away. It'll wash away. You're not going to remember everything, but you better make it your business to remember as much as you can and put into application that which you have received of God. Pay attention now. He says your faith is built on this. Remember, we're talking about building this foundation. The question then becomes, what do we have faith in? I mean, what is the thrust of what we really believe? In AME church, we repeat it quite often. I believe in God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You know, and I know, and you know, and some of us have been in AME churches, and we've recited that particular doctrine, that there are folk who really don't believe that. I said to you a few weeks ago that we have still a house divided as it comes to the absolutes of this gospel. After all these here years, as Grandma would say, we still got folk who go, I don't know that part right there. And because of this void that we're constantly dealing with, we're not all together. We're not all in agreement. We don't all have agreement that we should have church school. We don't all have agreement that we should have 11 o'clock church. We don't all have agreement that we should tithe. We don't all have agreement that we should have deacons. We don't all have agreement on who should preach. We just got so much mess. But the gospel will solve those issues. The center hub of the whole gospel comes in one short statement. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to make some people mad here, but I'm going to say, God ain't interested in your opinion. I don't care what you think, unless you think like him. I don't care what you post on Facebook. I don't care how many cute little poems you write. I don't care how wonderful you think you are. This is the message. Whether it makes you warm or whether it makes you cold or whether, you know, we walk away from truth to give life to a lie. Yes, sir. Because anytime you stand against this, you are feeding the flesh the lie. See, we don't like that. That's absolute. He said, this is what you build your faith on. You don't build your faith on what mama said. You don't build your faith on what your uncle said. You don't build your faith on how your co-workers are swaying. You don't build your faith on the fact that there's a new church in town and it's not so hard on us. And this man of God is not so, and this woman of God. And they say, nobody saves you but God. And anything that doesn't make you labor in the Lord ain't no good for you. That's what the word said. The word said, know that your labor in the Lord. This ain't easy. It ain't supposed to be easy. Read your Bible. Everybody that ever committed to God gave up something. Struggled a little bit. Suffered a little bit. David lived in a cave. Abraham lost his whole family to get a new family. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel. The list goes on and on. Daniel was imprisoned. Shadrach, Meshach. I mean, don't think that because it's 2013, we're going to cake ride till we get to heaven. And there'll be a falling away. There was then and there will be forevermore. That's why the Bible says such as would be and none but the righteous. So Paul said, listen, Corinthians, this is what your faith was built on. What? Preaching, teaching. Where's the building of your faith when your butt's not in the pew? How you going to build a faith on a satellite ministry? What satellite? You ain't here. You don't get paid unless you show up at Genworth, am I right? Unless you get on that bus, unless you go to that school, unless you show up at that college, unless you go to that house, unless you go to that training school. Before you retire, unless you show up in the classroom, nobody's going to give you nothing for not doing what you're supposed to do. You can't walk around here talking about great is my reward in heaven. Therefore, laid up for me is a crown that shall be given on that day. You ain't going to get nothing because you're not building your faith. And if you're against the word of God, you're against all of God. You can't pick a section. That's my favorite scripture right there. That scripture saved me. No scripture saved you. God saved you. The word is nigh unto thee. So he said, listen, this is what your faith is built on. And again, my concern for a people is word integrity. That's the real issue. I was talking to Pastor Thompson the other day. We were riding about. And there's a preacher down in Houston that does a church development thing. Great guy. Great, real great guy. We can't afford him. You know, I'd love to bring. We can't afford him. But, I you know, somehow or another, I'll figure out a way to do something. But he one of the things that he teaches is that the church is spending too much of its energy in denial, rather than simply doing the doggone thing. We're spending too much of our energy in denial. And one of the things he teaches is that we should do away with what don't work. He said we are spending too much of our energy trying to repeat things, hoping for something better next time. If it didn't work the first time, it's probably not going to work the next time. And we have a built-in thing that says, let's give it one more season. He said, that's why we misinterpret the illustration when Jesus comes to say, cut the darn tree down. The poor farmer just got his heart in the thing. He said, that's one of the tragedies of being a pastor is you put your heart in the stuff that you ain't going to get nothing out of. He said, you wasting your time. He talked very frankly to the church. He said, you're putting all of this energy into trying to come up with a better youth ministry, a better this ministry, a better. He said, if those Negroes don't want it, don't do it. Because the reality is the church either lives or dies off of the commitment of the disciples. If Jesus had 12 bums, the gospel would not be like it is today. There would not, if Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were bums, maybe it'd be a gospel of Philip, Earl, and Joe. You cannot build where there's nothing to build on. So what did he say? Listen, Corinthians, if you don't get this word, you ain't got nothing. That's what we deal with. Look. There is no need in buying a 53-passenger bus when ain't but 12 people riding. Get you a 15-passenger van and hope three more come along. No need in building a greater church for a lesser-minded people. So he said, listen, please understand. He said, when we preach to you, watch this now, you welcomed it. Now, we see that all the time. Folk get excited, come down for a minute, and they're gone. He said, listen, when we first came around, you know what it was? It was the excitement of new. Paul said, when we first came, listen, it's right in the text. He said, let me remind you now. You said you wanted this. He said, let me remind you that when we came to you, you welcomed us. You didn't say go away. He said, and you're still doing it. You know what he's saying? They're consistent. They're consistent. We have a revolving door on the house of God, and we should not. One of the things that we must do is commit our way unto God. You can't leave because the pastor leave or the deacons leave. You know, I told y'all a long time ago about that fan club ministry in the church. That's horrible. Because your buddy not in charge no more. Or they demoted this one or removed that one. But they treated, I ain't going. That was my friend. That was my favorite deacon. That's crazy. And here's what gives us away. We talk more emphatically and lovingly about people than we do about God. It's a dead giveaway. I'm enjoying myself. So he said, listen, now watch the next part. He said, listen, and it is this good news that saves you. Watch this now. If you stay consistent, if you firmly believe. If we would have walked around this room, and I wouldn't do it because I don't want to embarrass nobody, but if we would have just get people and walk out one at a time and have you come to my office and say, tell me what you really believe, it would be more hemming and hawing. Because most of us don't know what we firmly believe. If I said, all right, Deke, you first, if you knew what the question was, you would be so glad he went first. If I said, all right, we're going to stop here and pause, and we're going to start, I'm going to start one at a time, and I'm going to just walk into the back and ask you what you firmly believe. And you can come right back. Some of y'all are going to leave this room. So you don't have to answer that. I know better. And if I say, well, can I get a volunteer that will answer the question first? Nobody jumping up. He said, listen. He said, listen. This is the good news that saves you. And then he throws in that most interesting word of all the human language, if. If. Watch this. If you firmly believe it. He didn't say me or Timothy or Titus or any of his comrades. It ain't about Apollos. And later on, he's going to talk about that Apollos thing. He said that's not the point. He said, if you got this word. How are you going to get something that you don't attend to? How? Again, I said it before, and not everybody said amen. Maybe you'll get it right this time. But how can they hear without the preacher? There is nobody else's name in all of the written word of the land, from encyclopedia, dictionary, or great philosopher. Nobody else can make that statement about life. It doesn't say how can they hear without Einstein? How can they hear without Socrates? How can they hear without Barack? How can they hear? Your whole learning mechanism, the ear, needs the preacher. I ain't going up there. I got other things to do. I don't care. I can read for myself. How can they hear without the preacher? You can help yourself. Oh, I know you think you're smart, you're brilliant. God bless you. The gospel says you need some one to bring the message. That's how God designed it. Jeremiah's word says, and I'll give you pastors. God didn't say he'll give you anything. You see how important the learning opportunity from the gospel is? The preacher, the pastor. He didn't say I'll give you governors, senators, ambassadors. He said, I'll give you pastors because you're going to need them. You're going to learn about me. You're going to need my agents that I'm going to choose. And that's why, you know, I've had people come tell me about the Lord, call him to preach. You can't go preach to nobody if you don't come to Bible study yourself. You can't preach to nobody if you ain't committed. Oh, so all of a sudden now you're going to get committed? No, you're just energetic. What the Lord is telling you is go pay attention. Oh, yeah. You cannot live the life of discipleship without this doctrine and not a piece of it. So you can't get part of learning how to do a prepositional phrase and then not learn about punctuation. Can't get excited about first part and not do the whole part. I told a preacher the other night, I said, man, I thank you. I said, but Reverend, please understand, we don't have King James Bibles in our churches. So when folk are not yelling back at you that, oh, well, Doc, I didn't know. Yeah, you didn't know. I said, but I appreciate you saying don't skip over the periods, commas, and punctuation, because that's necessary. Most of us can't write a good letter. Nothing wrong with the verbiage, because that's what you're thinking. But you write like you talk. All of us do it. And then we wonder why we can't catch our breath. Because you blew past all of those commas and semicolons that you should have been putting in your speech. Preachers do it all the time. We wind up choking and hacking and spitting on people near and far. But the reality is, he said, listen, unless you firmly, see, this is why I'm telling you about this foundation thing. This bench will always do well. It's firm. It's got good stability. It ain't going nowhere. We even nail it to the floor for extra stability. It will always do what it's designed to do. It will always be what it was designed to be. It's not a bed, though folk fall asleep on them. But it's not comfortable. It doesn't make for a good desk. It's not designed to be a desk. But it will always hold at least about 9 bodies. It's got a little cushion on it. It's good at what it does. It's not living room furniture. You wouldn't want this in your living room. You wouldn't want it on your work site. Pews go in churches. They just seem to fit. It's firm, though. Very solid. But remember what I told you about 9 weeks ago? If what you believe won't hold you, how's it going to hold your wife? How's it going to hold your children? Poor Kennedy, Mariah, the boys are in trouble if y'all jacked up in the Lord. 5 jacked up lives that didn't ask to be jacked up because y'all too lazy to put y'all place in the place of God. Shame on us, parents. How you going to bring up a generation when you can't firmly hold fast? Word of God says, hold fast to the profession of your faith. What came out of your mouth should be your life. And not just because it's homecoming. Not just because it's revival. Not just because your friend's there. He said, listen, you believe. If it'll save you. Let me tell you, and I said this to you before, and again, nobody likes to say amen. But we have folk who are not saved because the evidence is clear. I've been in this church since I was 8. You still ain't saved. Don't care. When I get mad, that's why I don't go because I get tired of him. You ought to get tired of living a lie. You do know that the one thing you don't have to do is live a lie. It's too easy. Not easy like easy peasy, 1, 2, 3-sy. It takes something. I'm going to tell you something now. It takes something to get up every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock and get yourself ready to be here by 9:30. It takes something to leave your job and go to Thursday evening training. It takes something to come and pray. You know why? Because the enemy keeps us otherwise busy so God can't get our attention. Surely the Lord was in this place, and I knew not. Jacob was so concerned about stuff around him and what might happen that he missed God. But the devil let up for just a moment, and Jacob said, surely the Lord was in this place. He didn't have to go to another rock. He didn't have to go to another community. God was right there. He just missed him. That's why I'm telling you, I'm tired of folks. That's why I went to this place. That's why I left. You ain't got to leave. You just need to pay attention. Stop fooling yourself. There is no other salvation than that which is found in Christ Jesus. No church has a lock on Jesus. And just for a personal moment of my arrogance, hit the mute button there for a minute, boy. I'm better than most of them anyway. Okay, play again. So he said, listen, if you hold fast. Now watch the next thing he said. He said, unless, of course, he's honest. See, people don't like it if I say this, unless, of course. He said, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. That's the reality, saints. A whole lot of us came into the body of Christ with misinformation. He said, let's just go back to it. And again, I thank God for your daddy. In 1997, when he said, Pastor, they never told us. I'll never forget it. If I do, y'all need to get me examined because I need to remember that. I came into an established church that was at least 100 and something years old, and one of the senior saints looked at me in my face and said, Pastor, nobody ever told us. And the church said, amen. He said, unless, of course, when you came, you... And trust me, there are churches that are not good, are they not? You've been around long enough. You've been in Alabama. You haven't always lived in Lynch. Haven't you ever walked into a church and said, There are churches that are led by false prophets. Not the kind that's trying to do, just guys who don't know what the heck they're talking about. Told y'all about looking at everybody on TV and listen. Don't do it. Don't do it. Just because somebody on Word or TBN or Trinity don't mean they sound. Try the spirits by the spirits. But you can't try a spirit if you ain't got a spirit. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that there's a war going on in you. Between your flesh man and your spirit man. And if your spirit man is weak, it won't be able to discern a good spirit. Your flesh man will tell you, oh, that's a good word right there. You need to sit right up under there. You know, we come up with this language and, oops, excuse me, that was a curve, no one inside. We come up with this language in the church, sitting under so-and-so and a covering. And that's just a bunch of malarkey. You're trying to justify something is jacked up. And we have leaders who tell people that you need to be under my covering and you need to be. You don't need to be under nobody's covering but God. None of y'all belong to me. Mrs. Mitchell don't belong to me. Candace don't belong. Them God's people, I was blessed to have a union, blessed to have some children, but they ain't mine. Not like that. They don't belong to me. They belong to God. And if I got any sense, I'd be a good steward. So how do I come to a pastorate and talk about my son and my daughter? We use a language that's okay sometimes. Something that has to do with being familiar and trying to feel good about ourselves. I would call him my son or my brother. You know, I don't have a problem with that. But I don't own him. There are laws against that in this country. It's owning people. They put you in prison for that. I don't do that. So you can't let this language. He said, unless what you started out with, what no, and that's what's wrong with a lot of us. We are still painting David and Goliath and slingshots in our spiritual mentality. Listen, you too old for that stuff. We still singing Mary Had a Little Lamb. You too old for that. You started out with that nursery rhyme faith and you still got nursery rhyme faith and you 50, 60 years old, you ain't going nowhere. You're not solid. Ain't my fault. We can't blame Elliot. We can't blame Spear. We can't blame Hall. You had to make a decision. I don't care who your pastor is, until you firmly believe this. And as I told you before, anybody that closes it in front of you, you need to ask, can you open that back, please? This is life. He said, unless you started out wrong. He said, if you did, you got a problem. Let's go to chapter 2, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have a problem. And your problem ain't got nothing to do with the size of the sanctuary. We need to build a greater church. I mean that because our facilities do not fit the vision of our church. Okay? It doesn't. We were here the other night for 3 nights, and we learn things every time we come together. There's things we just don't have. Now, again, until we tithe better and support ministry better, we pretty much can't hang ourselves out like that. And that's just reality. But the fact of the matter is, what we don't have for our children, we can't offer it to them. We don't have enough bathrooms in the church, to be honest with you. And the ones we have are antiquated. For our young men, if we got any of them that, sure, they can't use this bathroom right here. Ladies, you wouldn't know this, but the men's urinal is way too tall for any little fella. And the commode is way too tall because it's a handicapped style. So our poor little fellas like little Larry, who's being potty trained and learned, we got to do something. You'll be holding him up for another 5-6 years. So mama can't take him. Well, she can take him to the girl's bathroom. But after a while, you can't take him to the girl. What I'm saying, our facilities, no person with any disability can walk in the front of this church. None. And we can't fix that. There are issues we have that are not futuristic for us. It's not going to feed us going forward. And we still got a foundation that's, so what I'm saying is you cannot suggest to any person that it has a lot to do with this, that, or the other. It's the word. Until you get this part right. One of the things Dr. Ratliff said, because, I did get to talk to him. He said, Doc, let me tell you something. Because, I was telling him about some of what was happening. And he said, Doc, let me tell you something. He said, I've got Negroes in my church that send $10,000 to the church a month and don't come. He said, well, I ain't trying to run them off. I'm taking the $10,000 and I'm going to do ministry. He said, I've got them that come in and they'll sit one Sunday and leave a check for $7,000-$8,000 and walk away. I'm doing ministry. He said, but they know, because you're going to hell. Your money can stay here, but you're going to hell. And they laugh, oh, Pastor, you something else. He said, but if that's what they think their salvation is, let them keep paying the $10,000, $6,000. He said, but I tell them all, you're going to hell. Because you can't buy your way into the kingdom. And he said, please understand, Pastor, we have 24,000 people in this church. They have 100 acres for their facility. They've got four buildings on the facility. They have a big church, a multipurpose church, family life center, and a financial center. Like they have a few little stores. They got their own little mini mall, really. It's crazy. He said, and when we have revival, if 100 people show up, we did good. 24,000. He said, we never have more than a couple of 100 folk at Bible study. Never. 24,000 people. He said, and that's why I'm telling you, young preachers, and I ain't young no more. He said, I'm telling y'all, don't let them bruise your heart with their disobedience, with their deceptiveness. He said, play the game to win. And he said, you know how you do that, right? I said, yes, sir. I think I do. He said, wait, what would you say? I said, keep him lifted up. He said, you got it. Just keep doing that God stuff. Just keep doing the God stuff. And so the reality is, Paul says, well, if you started out with misinformation and you're still in misinformation, what do you think is going to happen? You can't hold fast to a water balloon without the balloon. You know, you can't hold water in your hands. You need something to secure it. Put it in a pot, you're fine. You put it in a vessel, you're fine. That's why the Lord says with the illustration of the wineskins. He said, listen, if you got any sense, you don't pour new wine into old wineskins. Because it's not going, you're throwing away the wine. You don't sew a new patch on the old. It's not going to work. Unless you do the whole thing, it's no good. All right, so 1 Corinthians, are you in chapter 2, please? Verse 4 says, my message and my preaching were very plain. I didn't use wise and persuasive speeches. Here it is. But the Holy Spirit was powerful among you. Do you see anybody's name say except you? So when people talk about that Holy Spirit thing, I don't get. The Holy Spirit desires to be powerful among all of us. Not just the ministers or the deacons or the trustees. The Holy Spirit, Paul says, was powerful among you. You know what he's saying? It was working. God was moving. He said, it wasn't me. It wasn't my words or my prayer. He said, that's what the Holy Spirit, watch this now. He said, I did this. What? Preach and teach. So that you, here it is, would trust the power of God rather than human wisdom. Boy, that man can show preach. Tell me about God, man. Paul said, listen, don't get caught up in me. I wanted you to see the movement of the Holy Spirit and know that the application applied to you. Remember what we told you about 2 years ago now. Acquisition and application. You get this and then make it live. Get this and make it live. That's why we keep coming every Sunday morning. So you can get some more and live some more. That's why we keep coming on Wednesday and Thursday. Get some more, live some more. How are you going to live more off what you had 5 years ago? You can't even drive that phone and take a gas. You can't live off one trip to the grocery store. You're going to always have to get some more to live some more. And we do it in every aspect of our lives except the dag-blame church. We renew everything in our lives with consistency and excellence except God. When our lives get better, we don't shop at Walmart no more. We go to Belk. When our money get longer, we don't buy Vegas. We buy Cadillacs. We don't do our own nails. We get them done. We don't go around with a nappy head. We pay $75 for a hairdo every other week, if not more often. I saw a young lady once, told me she had some night. I said, you're braiding. She said she paid $150-something to get her hair braided. I see hairdos in this church every Sunday. I see Coach bags, Gucci, Louis, and I'm looking at those people and saying to myself, God, if you let me say what I need to say, and our tithes and our offerings are dismal, and we Gucciing and coaching and upgrading, everything in our life goes to excellence except God. Why are you yelling at us? Because I'm serious about it. It's time out for the lies and deception of a people, and yet we want God to bless us, enlarge our territory, and heal us and deliver us. And yet we are steady downgrading the gospel. We'll drive to Roanoke, Greensboro for a concert, and we wouldn't come 3 nights to revive. I sit here every night and count it. We had 48 of our own people on Tuesday, 53 of our own people on Wednesday, and 47 of our own people on Thursday. What the ham sandwich is going on? And some of the faces that weren't here should be ashamed. I ain't been blind, not one day in my life. I got good recall. But yet you do other things for your life, but your life in Christ is way down here. And you wonder why it's upside down? You wonder why you've lost that loving feeling? Because you're not holding firm. and you're caught up. You're caught up now. You have fallen in love with the world. This is world love. Look around you. Ask yourself, where's your home is at? Paul said, listen, you fell in love with human wisdom because the world says, well, you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to do this. And you never stop long enough to say, God, what is your will for my life? I'll tell you before, my wife and I were hungry, not starving, but we bought canned beans and chicken wings, waiting on God. I walked away from a 15-year military career trusting God. We about lost our house. We about lost our cars. We lost friends. We became recluse sometimes. Shame. We were a little shamed at times. But we had pride. And pride is good. But because I trusted God. And she had to trust God because of me. Because I was the chief breadwinner. That's what men are supposed to do. But I looked at her and said, honey, the Lord told me to leave. She said, well, that's what you got to do. She said, he ain't say nothing to me, though. No, she didn't say that. She said, I got my job. She didn't say that. She probably thought it, though. She probably figured, I'm going to get my kids and get the hell out of here. But the fact of the matter, he said, listen, this is the reality. Now, go over to chapter 1, and you don't have to turn far. You may not have to. But chapter 1, verse 18 said this, I know very well how foolish the message of the cross sounds. But listen to what he says to those who are on the road to destruction. Don't think because you're in the church, you can't be on the road to destruction. I see it all the time, Deacon Walker. People who were once champion for God have chumped out and then blame God because you downgraded. He said, I know. He said, I understand. Listen, it doesn't surprise me. This never surprise. It breaks my heart because I don't want to see nobody perish. I feel just like the Lord. I would that no man would perish. This community, I said it before, and Lewis and I agree, you know, we got the best deal in town. But I've said before, this community deserves a strong African-American church. You will not have a strong African-American church unless you got a strong African-American preacher. That's me. Amen. No church around here compares to ours. I talked to too many preachers. I'm telling you that right now. Nobody wants to teach like this. They want to borrow my stuff. I said, you can't have it. I'll come do it for you. Man, how you come up? You know, and I'm, again, this is not bragging. This is just the reality. He said, the foolishness. It sounds crazy. I don't know. Had too long. Listen, we'll go sit in a restaurant. And the folk have to put us out. But because I'm preaching to 1 o'clock, y'all stay too long. We'll go to the movies and cheat. Try to watch another one without paying. We'll go to Disney World and stay all day. But when it comes to the gospel, God ain't got so much time. I can't sit up there all day long. You go to your job and work 8 hours. Some of y'all will work through lunch. All the man got to say, look, we got a little, I'll do it. But the gospel. I mean, you can't preach that. He said, I know. He said, I know. He said, I know very well how foolish the message of the cross. You know what he's saying? Let's keep focused here. This is not about Brookville. This is about the cross. That's why every preacher needs to stay on Jesus. But notice what he said. Listen, but we, now he's saying there's a separation here. There is a line of debarkation. He said, but we who are being saved, watch this now, recognize this message as the very power of God. Now, remember, in the next chapter, because remember, these letters came in stages. But what he says over in chapter 2, what is chapter 2 to us, he said, that's where the Holy Ghost became powerful among you. Why? Because this is the very power of God. You can't save yourself. I can't save you, but if you let me put this word before you and get over your own foolishness, You don't get to pick how the church operates. You don't do it on your job. You don't walk into your company and say, listen, now that I'm here, here's what we're going to do. You get in the system. And if you don't, they fire you without prejudice. They don't have no problem saying, listen, you ain't working out. We can't do that in the church. I prayed that God would let me just kick some folk to the curb. And he says, wheat and tares, boy, because you were once a tear yourself. They didn't kick you out, did they? I said, Lord, let me stand up one day and read a list. He said, wheat and tares. Let them both grow together. And I'll separate them. I said, come on, God, let's just make an example out of at least three. He said, no, I try to make it Holy Ghost. One for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said, no, it's wheat and tares. No, watch this. Go down a little further. Watch this in verse 24. Here is verse 24, chapter 1, verse 24. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24. But those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the mighty power of God and the wonderful wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is far wiser than the wisdom of human plans. And God's weakness is far stronger than the greatest of human strength. That's foundation there, y'all. He said, listen, God knows how it's working. And when people talk about what I tried and it didn't work for me, even God's weakness, if you can find a weakness in God, is still greater than human strength. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Anything. Money, houses, wives, children, mamas. If my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will. I'd rather have Jesus. He said, and please understand, whatever it is, if it ain't God, it ain't no good. It ain't no good. Watch this. He said, remember, brothers and sisters, verse 26, and we'll be done. Verse 26 says, remember, brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise even by the world standard. How many of y'all have been insulted because of your lack of? How many of you have been told you won't be and you can't do? Because the world said you, I mean, listen, you go back to Buckingham, there's some folk you're going to surprise. You go back to Buckingham with a family, a wife, beautiful children, and say you're a deacon. Who? You're what? You can tell them you own a company. But when you tell them you're in the Lord, some folk are going to be surprised. You what? I'm not challenging what you grew up. I'm just saying, you'll go back and surprise some folk. You can go on your job. I know you surprised some folk. Folks say, how many of y'all ever been insulted because of your lack of? How many of you have been told you won't be and you can't do? Because the world said you, I mean, listen, you go back to Buckingham, there's some folk you're going to surprise. You go back to Buckingham with a family, a wife, beautiful children, and say you're a deacon. Who? You're what? You can tell them you own a company, but when you tell them you're in the Lord, some folk going to be surprised. You what? I'm not challenging what you grew up. I'm just saying, you'll go back and surprise some folk. You can go on your job. I know you surprised some folk. Folks say, just clean? Still, when you got clean, folks said you wasn't going to stay clean. But see, you got God. And even then, they look at you, I don't know. You know that, look, all y'all, matter of fact, you ought to want to surprise some people. By the world's wisdom, you ain't good enough to be a manager. You ain't good enough to manage millions of dollars. Starling McKenzie, man, when I was in high school, Starling was a goofball. You know, stuff like, I don't know what you was in high school. But, you know, the reality is, I'll ask Sandra when she get here. You know, people say stuff about us. You're what? This guy was an electronic wizard. He could do stuff. And somebody look at him and say, well, I'm going to trust you in my church as well. Okay, I can see that Tecma thing, but you say you're a backup? You were working on something rusty in the church. No, I said I'm a trustee in the church. Man, y'all must be desperate for trustees. You know, that kind of thing. Come on, how many of you heard it now? He said, listen, this tells you God knows everything. Nothing blows God away. He said, listen, you were deliberately chosen. Wow, that see, I always like this verse in my own life. When I have, I got it highlighted, not just to teach y'all, but sometimes when I'm having the moments about why did I leave this and why did I commit to that? Why didn't I stay here? And what am I doing there? And I go back and I read this and it says, listen, God deliberately chose the things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they're smarter than us. In order to thank those who think themselves more worthy than us. Watch this. He says, listen, God deliberately chose the things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they're smarter than us. In order to thank those who think themselves more worthy than us. Watch this. He said, and he chose those who are powerless to shame those who are powerful. Don't tell me God ain't got a plan for you. Don't tell me that you got to fake it till you make it. God knew just what he was doing. And the problem that we wrestle with is that we will not rise to the challenge of the word. Be ye transformed. It's one of the strongest scripture lessons that we can learn. Be ye transformed. Not by getting more money. Not by hanging out with the right crowd. Don't do that world stuff. How does he say do it? By renewing your mind. Notice he said get the mind of Christ. Last little piece, and I got to go. Come over to chapter 2 again. And again, this is one of those easy ones. Chapter 2, verse 9. This is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Don't sell yourself short. Don't do it. It doth not yet appear. Paul said, right now we see through a glass darkly. Paul said, I ain't sure about this thing, but one thing I do know, when it clears up, I'm going to see Christ. I'm going to be Christ. That's why the old church said, I looked at my hands and my hands looked new. Everything about your life is in Christ Jesus. There is no other way. Don't fool yourself, children. I know sometimes it gets a little different. It's different for preachers sometimes. I've had my share of ups and downs and life changes. But the one consistent thing that saved my life is that in the words of Miss Sophia sitting at the Thanksgiving table, I know days of God. I didn't sometimes know who my friends were. Sometimes I didn't know how I was going to feed my family. Sometimes I didn't know if I was going to have a job. Sometimes I didn't know if they were going to bust my rank down. But I know there is God. And as I said to you, ever since I met you, and you know my theme song, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible. I got to hold fast to that. Because when everything gone, he'll be there. When heaven and earth has passed away, this word, that's going to be our insurance. As I said to you, ever since I met you, and you know my theme song, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible. I got to hold fast to that. Because when everything gone, he'll be there. When heaven and earth has passed away, this word, that's going to be our insurance policy. We're going to be able to stand before all of the hell demons and say, but Lord, you said. You can't say, Lord, you said, if you haven't taken an interest in what he's saying. You ain't going to be able to say, Lord, my choir sing one Sunday. Lord, I heard T.D. Jakes. Okay, that. But Lord, you said. Because T.D. Jakes, just like Mitchell and White and Dickerson, sometimes we embellish a little bit. We run out there. We get caught up with something we needed to say, so we need to say that right quick. We build on some of the structure, and then we put some other pieces just to get our point across. But the Lord's word is absolute. So understand me. You're going to hold fast to it. And remember, he said, listen, I know. I recognize what's happening to you. Think it not strange. Remember what James said? When you fall into these things, when things happen to you, think it not strange that it's happening to you, because this is what's going to happen. It is the design of God that we go through the suffering. Didn't Paul tell you? Paul said, listen, all I want to know is Christ. He said, the suffering, the resurrection, the power, I got to get all that to get all that. We come into the church and think that when we hit a rough spell, this church thing ain't working. That's why the only reason you're going to get through it is because it's working. You ain't the first one. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. He didn't say, I've never seen the righteous have some problems. He said, not forsaken. Everybody water heater go out. Everybody have a little problem. Sometimes we just forget to make the payment. Sometimes we get too far out there. He said, but I've never seen them forsaken. And really, the salvation of God. Thank you, Lord, for these who are attentive to what you are saying to the church. Help us, God, to get over even ourselves, that we would become the better Christian disciple in Christ Jesus. We know that your word is true and absolute and works from generation to generation. Heaven and earth will indeed pass away, but this word will last forever, and we want to be found in the word. Lord, forgive us for our sins. Have mercy upon us, we pray. And God, that we would do better today than we did on yesterday. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.